throughout my talk this morning, I'm going to make references to the art and to film for the points that I want to make, because so much of how we've expressed ourselves to the world, to America, has been through the artistic expression. So one of my favorite films is Daughters of the Dust.
Come on, Deborah.
And the thing for me about that film that just sticks with me is the grandmother who talks about how important it is for us to recall, recollect, and remember who we are. Because the reality for me is that we cannot move forward unless we remember our past and carry it with us and use it to discern our present and create our future. So looking back to the place that we've come and to where we are now, I think it's really important for us to think about, why is it that Black people are in America? Why are we in this country? Why were we brought here? We didn't choose it, we didn't volunteer, we didn't sign a contract and said we want to come over here and work for y'all for 7 years. Why are we here? We're here because this is a country that built their economy on promoting addiction for profit. We don't talk about that when we talk about what America is, but let's think about it. The first crops that created the engine for this economy were tobacco, sugar, and rum. All addictive drugs for which there was not a market. Our enslavement was designed to facilitate that market. We were brought here to be beasts of burdens to produce a market for addiction for profit. Why is that important in terms of talking about the drug war? Because there is something to me absolutely perverse for a group of people who had everything taken from them in order to support someone else promoting addiction, now accepting being punished, locked up, and having everything taken away from them again for addiction. Like, really, to think about it. Like, what does that mean, and how is it that we accept that as a reasonable frame for punishment? To say that drugs are so bad that they justify the things that we do to people because they use those particular drugs. Not even the most harmful ones. Not even the most addictive ones. Not even the ones that are guaranteed to cause death if you use them, like tobacco. Not even the ones that are frying our brains every day, like sugar. Okay? Which to me is the most addictive, harmful drug that people don't even relate to as a drug. So why is it that we have a whole system that's based on locking people up for their relationship with a plant? And why is it that as a community we've been willing to accept that for so many years? So for me, I'm going to refer to another film, which I thought was brilliant in illustrating some of these points, which is 12 Years a Slave. And I want to refer to it for two things. First of all, I want to refer to it for taking away the romanticized notion that people have about what slavery was and slavery is. But I'm going to go a little bit deeper than my man did in 12 Years a Slave, because he put that in the past. And I'm going to bring it to the present. And I'm going to remind you all about that case in Cleveland a few years ago when they found those three women who had been locked up and held for 10 years. So I want you to think about it. Each one of those women was kidnapped off the street, taken into a home and put in chains, literally prevented from being able to wash, eat, or do anything other than what their captor wanted them to do. They were used physically, beaten, violated, raped repeatedly, beaten, forced to do all kinds of things for a period of more than 10 years. And when people found out about it, they were like, oh my God, that's horrendous, that's horrible. And the man had to keep that hidden because now it's against the law. But for more than 300 years in this country, all of that was legal. All of it was legal. kidnapping people, keeping them in chains, as a woman, using us as sex slaves, forcing us to produce children that we didn't want, and then taking them away and selling them to someone else. All of that was legal. So 300 years ago, that Cleveland guy didn't have to worry about keeping that secret. He could go through the world and let people know what he was doing and be affirmed for that. So I want us to really think about what the history of this place is and what it was built on. It was built on torture. It was built on enslavement. It was built on the exploitation of human and physical resources in order to profit a few. Now, to me, about what's interesting about being in Georgia is that many people, including people here, forget that this state started as a penal colony. It started as a place where the English dumped the folks that they didn't want from home. It was too expensive to lock them up, and they needed bodies to work. So this is the place where they sent their criminals. And this is the thing that began to build the economy here. So would it be, is it surprising at all that a state that started as a penal colony still has an attachment to punishment, still has an attachment to criminalization, still likes to make money from locking people up, still thinks of people as refuse to be gotten rid of, disposable, something that we're not willing to invest in? Started with black people, but doesn't end there. Because for me, the ugly truth about the South in general is that it's a region that's willing to hold everybody down in order to keep black people from rising up. It's willing to keep the majority of its people ignorant and uneducated in order to prevent black people from being educated. Think about that. You have a whole region of states of people who literally believe that their success can only be accomplished by keeping their foot on your neck. And so this is the thing that the two points I want to leave people with. First and foremost, the other part of 12 Years a Slave to me that's relevant for black people is that he did a really good job of illustrating who we are vis-a-vis punishment. That scene where Solomon was kind of hanging, they wanted to lynch him, but they couldn't, and so he was literally hanging barely by a rope for hours. And eventually, all the other people on the plantation came out of their homes and went on about their business as if he wasn't there. And for me, that was such a perfect illustration of who we be. Seeing suffering in our community every day, seeing people near death every day, and walking away and not looking at it because we don't believe that we can actually do anything about it. And that's a conditioning that's part of our legacy of enslavement. I want to ask this question. I want people to ask themselves this question. Does racial oppression require cooperation across color lines? Like, it's easy on one level for us to talk about what white people have done to us, but it's harder for us to acknowledge the ways in which we've supported that and facilitated that and allowed that to continue. And so my bottom line is, as long as we are attached to punishment, as long as we believe it works, the system will continue to deliver it to us. As long as we believe that there's a certain percentage of our community that's criminals that we need to be protected from, the system will keep coming for them and taking them away. And the truth is that they keep coming for them younger and younger. So what is that really about? And I want to leave you all with this one metaphor that comes from another film, but one you guys probably haven't seen. It's a documentary called Lodge Ghetto, and it's about what happened to the Jewish community in Krakow during the Nazi occupation. And to me, it's really important because our history as oppressed people is very similar to the history of the Jewish people, who were identified as a race, regardless of what they looked like, who were oppressed and stigmatized as a race. And yet in America, when we see Nazi propaganda films talking about Jews in the ghetto and their living conditions, etc., we see that for what it is, propaganda. But when we see the same films made about black people in our community who suffered the exact same conditions of being ghettoized, stripped of their citizenship, driven out of their occupations, not allowed to get jobs, etc., we don't see that as the consequence of government policy. We see that as something wrong with them. There's something about black culture. Like, so what is that about? So this is the thing for me, and this is the parallel I want to make to that, which is that the community there really believed that their survival was dependent on cooperating with the Germans because they were under their control. And so they did all the things they were asked to do. They built schools, factories, they found jobs for people, etc. But what they didn't recognize was that they were faced with people who actually just wanted their extermination. And so at a certain point, the Germans came to the head rabbi and said, you have to deliver 20,000 people. We want all the children under 10 and all the adults over 60. And at this point, it was impossible for people to pretend that they were going to be delivered for anything other than liquidation, because these weren't people who were capable of working. And so the leader went before the community with tears and basically said, this is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I can't believe it, but send me your children. Send me your elderly. Better that we sacrifice this 20,000 and preserve the other 200,000 that are living in the ghetto. And so that's what people did. But what they failed to recognize, and this is said with no blame, because I'm not sure that any of us would have recognized it in the same circumstance, but what they failed to recognize was that they were being tested. The Germans wanted to see if they would protect anybody. And the message is that once you are willing to sacrifice your most vulnerable people, then that means that you won't protect anyone.